Please take your Bibles this morning and go to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Today's February the 23rd, 2025. Last Sunday of February. Isn't that something? Acts chapter 26 is where we're going to begin this morning. Remember in the Gospels where Pontius Pilate asked Jesus Christ that question, what is truth? And, you know, in our culture today, especially with internet and social media, at times it's hard to know what is true or not. I think they still do it in court when you go to testify. They make you raise your right hand and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Sometimes we may hear people use the phrase, truth in advertising. That may be an oxymoron, I don't know. But and sometimes you hear people say, well, this is my truth. I'm going to speak my truth, which what they really mean is this is what I believe. Something is either true or it's not true, right? And it doesn't matter if I believe something or you believe something, because just believing something doesn't make it true. Something's either true or it's not true. So things that we see and hear and read, things people say may or may not be true. But when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to an understanding of who God is, what God will do, what he won't do, that understanding comes from the Bible, because rightly understanding the Bible gives you the absolute pure truth. People can and they do say a lot of things about God that contradicts what we read in the scriptures. But if the Bible, rightly understood, does not reveal who God is and what he's done and what he will do, if the Bible is not the standard for truth, then what is? My opinion? Your opinion? In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul was on trial before King Festus, and he was sharing with Festus about some of the truth of God's word that he had been preaching. And in Acts 26, Festus spoke up, the king, Acts 26, 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus, the king, said with a loud voice, Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning doth make you mad. King Festus thought Paul was losing his mind, that he was beside himself, that he was mad. You know, sometimes when we share truths of God's word with people, they may think we're wacky or goofy or, you know, don't know what we're talking about or whatever. But look what Paul said back to this king in verse 25. But he said, I'm not mad. I'm not crazy. Most noble Festus. So he's being very respectful. I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak truth, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And then if you continue reading the record, he was like, hey, Festus, you know some of these things already. The Bible, rightly understood, is the absolute truth. And people can, and they do, misquote the scriptures, misrepresent the scriptures, misread the scriptures, give their own interpretations, or they may even dismiss the Bible altogether. But the Bible, rightly understood, is the absolute truth. And, you know, we can look in the Gospels and see a number of places where Jesus Christ talked about the written scriptures. When he was praying, as recorded in John chapter 17, Jesus Christ said in his prayer, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word, the scriptures, the Bible, is truth, according to Jesus Christ. And I'd rather believe him than someone else, wouldn't you? Jesus Christ also said in the Gospel of John, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth of God's word makes a person free. Isn't that awesome? So the Bible, God's word, reveals the truth to questions that people have had for centuries. Is there really a heaven? What really happens when you die? Why did Jesus Christ have to die? What does God really think of me? And many, many more questions, and the answers, the truth, is found in the Bible. And when you rightly understand it, you have the absolute truth. No matter who believes it, even if nobody believes it, it's still true. You know, people a long time ago thought that the sun circled the earth. I mean, look at it every morning. It comes up and goes around. That wasn't true, but they believed it, and just because they believed it didn't make it so. And I'm sure when someone went, well, wait a second, the earth spins. Are you crazy? Look, what's spinning? I'm not moving. No, the earth spins, and it looks like the sun is going, no, you're crazy. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. And if something is true, it doesn't matter if someone believes it or if nobody believes it. It's still true. Take a look at Psalm 86, if you would. Psalm 86. The Bible reveals who God is, and when it speaks of God, because it's the Scriptures, it's true. And in Psalm 86, verse 15, it says, O Lord, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Boy, look at what this reveals to us about God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is a God that is full of compassion. God is very compassionate. He's full of compassion. And it says he's gracious, and that means he's full of grace. Grace means divine favor. It's something that's given, that's not earned nor deserved. God is very gracious. And then it says he's long-suffering. We ought to be glad about that. God's very patient with us. Sometimes people aren't very long-suffering, right? Short fuse, no patience, but God is compassionate, he's gracious, and he is long-suffering. Look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. There's a lot of verses that reveal who God is. The Bible says God is love. That's his very nature. No wonder he's compassionate. No wonder he's long-suffering. No wonder he's so gracious, because God's very nature is love. God is love. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. The Bible declares that God heals, that God forgives, and so much more. That verse that we just looked at in Psalms also said that he's full of mercy and truth. Mercy is the opposite of grace. Mercy is the withholding of judgment, where you deserve punishment, but God goes, no, I'm going to hold that back. That's mercy. What a God. Mercy, truth, gracious, compassionate, and long-suffering. In Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. God is good. God is good always. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That's so cool. What God said was. What God said is, and what God says will be, because whatever God says is the truth. And isn't that comforting to know? Isn't that something we can trust, that we know it's the truth? Might watch something on the news And it might be true, it might not be true. You might read something on the internet. Well, I saw it on the internet. Okay. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Longest psalm in the Bible. A wonderfully great psalm. We're going to go to verse 142 in Psalm 119. In the book of Psalms, God's word is referred to in a number of different ways. Referred to as law, statutes, testimonies, commandments. A lot of different words used to talk about the same thing, God's word. In Psalm 119, verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law, or God's word, is the truth. It is the truth. And isn't this why we love the Bible so much? Isn't this why we love to read we're reading the truth? And some of these verses are just absolutely thrilling to look at. God's word is the truth. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's a wonderful verse here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, a wonderful verse about the scriptures. And many of you are familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16, but we're going to read verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote this to Timothy, and in talking about Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Rightly understanding the scriptures makes you wise concerning salvation. How many people today have questions about salvation or opinions about salvation? How many different beliefs and opinions are there about eternal life, salvation, getting saved, going to heaven? If you don't want to be unwise concerning that, well, if you want to know the absolute pure truth concerning salvation, then you find it in God's word, a right understanding of the scriptures. And Paul was saying concerning Timothy that from a holy child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And then that next verse that many of us are familiar with, verse 16, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Oh my goodness, really? Yes. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. You know, last week we were looking at a specific section of God's word, the gospel of God, which is part of all scripture. But here it's saying all of it, Genesis to Revelation, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning God breathed it, God spoke it into being. We know from the epistle in Peter that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how we got the Bible. God told them what to write. All scripture God breathed, and it's profitable for us. Sadly, many people don't believe God's word. They don't believe the scriptures would be profitable to their everyday life, and it is. How profitable could it be? Well, look at 2 Peter. We're in Timothy. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and we get to 2 Peter, actually, we're going to. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Everybody there? Here's a great verse. Here's something to hang on to. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Where are we going to get an accurate, true knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord? From Google. I'm just kidding, and you know that. It's from a right understanding of the Scriptures. Grace and peace, God's promising grace and peace to be multiplied to us through a knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace, divine favor, blessings from God you don't deserve and couldn't earn. Who would say, I really don't need any more grace from God? On the other hand, who would say, I would like to have grace multiplied to me? Yes, I'm in. And then also peace. Peace. Tranquility. Rest. The noise stops. Grace and peace multiplied unto you through a knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. What a fabulous promise. Turn to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Going back to the Old Testament for a few. Psalm 12. We heard a number of these wonderful truths in manifestations this morning. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to Psalm 12, 6. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words. How pure? As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. I have you ever seen a silver round, a little silver coin? It's like 1 ounce. And it says 99% silver. It's not pure. Pretty close. But people ask Mark, he works in metals, to get something pure, you have to get the impurities out of it. What if I took that silver coin I had and had it purified seven times? Would it be pure, Mark? You think it would be pure after seven times in the fire? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. In Psalm 119 again, we were there just a minute ago, but go to Psalm 119 again. Be great to just read sometime, if you haven't recently read Psalm 119, to read the whole psalm. God's word is mentioned in almost every verse. And again, it's called the law, statutes, commandments, testimonies, precepts. But it's just a wonderful psalm that just gives so much great information and understanding about the written word of God. But in verse 105, Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, that reminds me of the verse that we read a few minutes ago in 2 Timothy. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, right teaching, so that we take the right path, so we don't get led astray on wrong paths, wrong opinions, wrong beliefs, myths, and all the rest of the stuff. It talks about in Ephesians that we be not like children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, every new thing that comes up. Oh, this must be right. An understanding, a right understanding of the Scriptures is a light. It's a light unto my path. It's a lamp unto my feet. Numbers, back up to Numbers, fourth book of Moses, Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 20, and this is one that I'm sure is familiar to most of us, but it's such a great verse that really helps us understand who God is. Numbers chapter 23, and we're going to go to verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. And we all know people lie, right? God's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? First of all, God's not a man that he should lie. People lie. Someone may say, yep, I'll be there at 4 o'clock. They really have no intention of being there at 4 o'clock. They're just trying to be nice. But it's a lie. It is something spoken that is absolutely not true. God's not a man that he should lie. God will never lie. Then the second thing it says, and he's neither the son of man that he should repent. So someone says, yep, I'll be there at 4 o'clock. And they have every intention of being there at 4 o'clock. And then they think about it for a while and they're like, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to go. They change their mind. Well, God's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't lie. And he's not the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. God's not going to go, you know what, that salvation stuff that I promised, I'm having some second thoughts on that. I'm kind of getting disgusted with all these people. Deal's off, no salvation for it. God will never change his mind on his promises. And then the third part of that verse says, hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? And that basically tells us that God is willing and able. What he's promised to do, he is able and willing. What he's willing to do, he's able. What he's able to do, he's willing. And that's not always true with people. You know, someone might say, what, you're doing some work at your house? Yeah. I'll come over there and help you. You will? Yeah. What time do you want me to be there? 4 o'clock. I'll be there at 4. You have every intention of being there at 4. You don't change your mind. And then when you get there to help, it's a job about plumbing that you know nothing about. You're willing, but you're not able. Or maybe you're able and you're not willing to go do that. With God, he never lies, he doesn't repent, and he's able and willing always. So, two more. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 this time. Another familiar verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Isn't that great to know that God doesn't lie? That we can trust the Word of God when we rightly understand it? That it's pure truth? And that God doesn't lie? We can absolutely trust God's Word, believe God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, this is pretty familiar. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a word of truth. God's word is true, absolutely true. And it's when we rightly divide the word that we get the right understanding. Not by misquoting it, misinterpreting it, put our own opinions in there, and all the things that happen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. And sometimes you need to work God's word. Sometimes you need to take the time to look at this verse, compare that verse, compare another verse. I recently put something together. I was actually planning on doing it just for my own personal study. But then I was talking with a lady there at the retirement center about the topic of what happens when you die. And I had a number of notes that I had jotted down. I was going to put something together just for me to have it all in one place. And so then when the question came up, I said, well, I'll put some scriptures together for you. She said, oh, good, I wish you would. So now, okay, now I'm going to do this project. And it's amazing how much God's word talks about that topic that people really have questions about. And so there's a lot of opinions about it. There's a lot of traditions about it. But what does God say about that topic? And so that's what this verse is talking about. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. Sometimes you work it. When we say we're working the word, it means we're comparing this scripture with that scripture. We're checking out how this Greek word is used. You know, we just take the time. And I'm really thankful for people that are way smarter than me who have a better understanding of, like, say, Hebrew and Greek, and can work a lot of God's word And then when we have that available to us, we ought to be like the folks in Berea who received the word with all readiness of mind and then searched the scriptures whether those things were so. And I've gotten to the point in my life that if I can't see it fit from the scriptures, I'll just wait till maybe I can. Because just because this person said it or that person said it doesn't mean it's right. I've got to see it from the scriptures. And probably like a lot of you, I've had to change my mind on a few things over the years. Things that I was maybe taught, traditions that I held to. But that's okay. We got a whole lifetime. The book's big. We'll never exhaust it. And we just love reading and studying God's word. It's very noteworthy that the Bible tells us that God desires, his will, his desire is that everybody would get saved, that everybody would have eternal life. That's his great desire. We see that in 1 Timothy, where we're going to close. 1 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to wind up this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 4. Talking about God, it says, who will have God's will? Who will have all men, all women to be saved? That's what his great desire is. That everybody would get, well, how do you get saved? What the scriptures make you wise unto salvation. God's word tells you exactly how to get saved. God would have all men to be saved and in addition, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Not just saved, but God wants us to know the truth. God doesn't want us ignorant. God doesn't want us stupid. God doesn't want us falling for myths and fables and goofy stuff. Where in the world are we going to get the knowledge? From the Bible, from the scriptures, rightly understanding the scriptures. Isn't that something? And if all it was salvation, if God just wanted everybody to get saved, the Bible could be on a 3x5 card. Here's how you get saved. Okay, that's all you need. But God's desire is that we would not only be saved, but come unto a knowledge of the truth. Why? Because God's word is profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The knowledge of God's word brings grace and peace multiplied unto us. God's word is his promises are true. If you don't know his promises, how can you believe them? But once you know them and see them in God's word and it's rightly understood, then you can go, that I'm going to believe. Because I know that God can bring that to pass in my life. Because God's not a man that lies. He doesn't change his mind. And what he's able to do, he's willing. What he's willing to do, he's able. What a great book we have here, huh? It's wonderful. I saw a quote a couple years ago on the internet. And it was a quote attributed to Abraham Lincoln. Remember Abraham Lincoln, 16th president? Wow. And it was a quote from Abraham Lincoln. And I saw this on the internet, and the quote was, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. When it comes to the news, the internet, social media, I can't really be sure what's true or what's not, but I know that if you have a right understanding of this book, the scriptures, you will have the absolute pure truth. Father, thank you for your wonderful word that you've given to us. Father, that we could enjoy reading your word, that we could have great learning and understanding about who you are, about what you will do, what you won't do, what you have done. And Father, that we could have a great understanding of our salvation and redemption that came through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we can continue to read and understand your word, that we can grow in our love and trust of you to bring your word to pass in our lives. And Father, we thank you for all the great blessings and benefits we have today and those that we will have in the future because of the completed work of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. Yeah.